Well, would you look at hip hop? Ain't this something? Yo, hip hop done blown up. And anybody born after 1983 probably can't appreciate this as much, because if that's when you were born, then you don't know anything else. But for those of us born before then, it's like, yo, look at how far it's come. I mean, come on. This thing started with just a few DJs in the Bronx, along with some cats who was just looking for an alternative to the gangs in the early 70s, you know what I'm saying? People who was just living in poverty, who just came up with different artistic expressions, you know what I'm saying? So for example, cats couldn't afford to make their own records, so they took different elements from popular records at the time, they blended them and made a whole new creation. Or they would play a record, find the breakdown, which might have only been a few seconds long, and then re-loop it, and bam, the DJ was born. And then you needed somebody to keep the party moving, get the crowd hyped with the yes, yes, y'alls and whatnot. Well, who's going to do that? The MC. So now you got the DJ and you got the MC. Now somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody said, you know what? There's too many cats getting killed fighting each other out here. Instead of me actually fighting you, I'm going to battle you on the dance floor. Yo, bring your best moves to the dance floor and it's on. And what do you know? The birth of breakdancing. And then look, finally, instead of just tagging up the name of your gang or your crew on the walls, cats just took the artistry to a whole nother level with the Krylon and the Rust-Oleum. And what do you have? Graffiti art, the four elements, and the birth of a culture. Now, after the MC gained prominence, because he was the one always in front of people, we saw hip-hop begin to go through some stages. It started out partying in the early 80s, and then in the mid-80s, it went street. Then in the late 80s, it got all lyrical. Then it got political. In the early 90s, it got gangster. In the mid-90s, it got commercial. So some cats couldn't take it when it got commercial, so they went to the underground. And since the late 90s until right now, 2005, it's just grown and spread and become universal. No longer is it just urban, it's suburban. It's not just national, it's international. Yo, it's people in Denmark and Sweden who know more about the origin of the culture than the average New Yorker today. Yo, I went to South Africa a couple years back, and yo, I was ignorantly expecting to see people in dashikis and beads when I got off the plane. Yo, you know what I saw? I saw Mickey D's and Ja Rule posters. This thing is black, white, it's Latino, it's Asian, it's African. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. That's right, multi-billion, that's a whole lot of zeros, dollars. Corporate America got a hold of it. And you know what happens to anything that corporate America touches? It becomes a sellable commodity. And so now, hip-hop is used to sell everything from toys to soda to cereal to hamburgers. Yo, it's crazy right now, yo. Hip-hop done blew up. But not only that, hip-hop also grew up. Yo, the cats that helped start the culture, yo, they in their 50s, dog. Yo, many of the top artists and the producers, they all over 30. Yo, hip-hop is no longer just something cute for the kids to do in their spare time. No, the people making the most money off the hip-hop, they are grown men. Believe that. And as if it couldn't get any more bugged out, hip-hop done started going to church. Yo, it's in the church, y'all. Yo, what is going on? Yo, people in baggy jeans and Tim's in the pulpit? What? Yo, this can't be right, can it? Well, for those who know about the essence of God's plan for redemption as it's laid out in Scripture, this shouldn't be a surprise. Because a crucial part of what God has been doing for the past few thousand years has been to create a people from every culture that would submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. As it says in Colossians chapter 1, all things were created by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. So, it makes sense that no legitimate culture would be exempt from Christ putting his fingerprints on it and showing up with his redeeming power. As one famous theologian put it, there's not one square inch of this green earth that Jesus Christ does not point to and say, that's mine. So why should hip-hop be any different? I want to welcome y'all to the Common Denominator on Holy Culture Radio, Holy Hip-Hop's very first talk show. What's up, y'all? My name is Shy Lynn, and I'm going to be your host today along with my man DJ Essence.
Yeah.
What up, Essence?
Yeah.
What's good,
yeah,
baby?
Yeah.
The very first Holy Hip-Hop, well, right, first as far as I know.
Right. Yeah.
It might be one in the Netherlands somewhere, you know what I mean? But, yo, praise God for this, man. Essence. How you
What's
been,
up, man?
I'm good.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I can't believe they gave us a talk show, yo. It's going to get real ugly. But, yo, we got a banging show for y'all today. Look, as I said, this is the very first one, hopefully, of many. You know what I'm saying? As we go along, we're going to share with y'all what the format of the show is and what you can expect in the future. But, yo, for right now, yo, I want to dive right into the show. Well, hold up. Before we dive in, Essence, tell us. The name of the show is The Common Denominator. Tell the people what that means. Why is it called The Common Denominator?
All right, well, I chose, or we talked about The Common Denominator because it fit for a number of reasons. I guess, you know, mathematically it's a term that defines different numbers all having the same foundation. What brings them together?
Right.
So for us, we're going to be talking about hip-hop, but hip-hop and the culture through the lens of scripture and being drawn together in our foundation being Christ and having the Holy Spirit. So we may have differences of opinion, but in the end, there is a foundation that is built on that. You know, the common denominator is the Word, the Spirit we have, and being brought together, having that Spirit through the blood of Christ. So
Jesus is the common denominator. Yeah, that's what's up. So look, y'all, we're going to dive right in. We hope y'all enjoy the show today. Today's topic is hip-hop is hip-hop and by extension, holy hip-hop, inherently evil? Is hip-hop and by extension, holy hip-hop, inherently evil? Now, for some of y'all, that might be a real simple question to answer, but there's a lot of complexities involved today, and there's a lot of crazy things going on. We want to address some issues because there's been an attack on holy hip-hop from within the church. And so we're going to address that. And who better to spark off our very first show in such an important topic than the man himself?
Who's that?
The ambassador! William Branch, a.k.a. Deuce, a.k.a. the Ambassador. What's good, Deuce?
Thanks for having me, y'all. This is crazy, but I'm feeling it from the gate.
Yeah.
I like the way the show start off, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great. As you know, I just recently released a project called The Thesis, and so...
Yeah.
I mean, this topic just goes so well with, you know, with that new project, because providentially, God had me defending hip-hop, not to defend hip-hop, but defending its ability to be, it's right to have a rescue team launch out. And some people, when something is too far gone, you don't even send a rescue team out. You just say, forget it. I mean, there's no hope for it. Let it go. You call the troops back. I was like, before the church starts saying, forget hip-hop, let's just, you know, move on and get our kids out of it because it's hopeless. I'm like, no. You know, I roll with a bunch of cats that's our target.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just good, man. Just thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yo, it's banging to have you, man, because it's like, I know for myself and many others, we would look at you like if there was going to be a spokesperson for this movement, like you're the cat that many of us would look to. You know what I'm saying? You've been in it for a minute. You know what I'm saying? With CM and how long have y'all How long ago did you see CMF?
Cross Movement is about a decade old in the form that most people know us.
Okay.
But of course, Cross Movement, and it's, as it was gathering, you know, you got to go a few more years back.
You know
what I'm saying? Back to 1992-ish.
Okay.
When we started slowly migrating to the same area. And by, you know what I'm saying? By 94, things started, you know, coming together.
Right.
And, you know, and by 96, we were, 96, 97, we were launched.
Okay.
So who was there from the beginning? Was it you and Wells, and that was it?
Nah, it was me, True Life, Tonic. You know, and we weren't the Cross at the time. We were our own individual ministries. It's just that we both had a pretty nice circuit. And then we stumbled on Fanatic and Enoch, who were part of another group called Righteous Gang at the time.
Righteous Gang.
And we got them, and their thing sort of, you know, all of a sudden, all the groups were starting to disintegrate. So God sort of like smashed all the little cliques.
Mm-hmm.
And those who came back together, we came back under the banner of Cross Movement, because we were all interested in keeping the message of the cross on the move as a movement.
Word. Yeah. So like I said, man, it's like, I know for myself, I'm privileged because I'm around you a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially
mm-hmm.
since you got back from Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a lot of people out there who would long just to have the opportunity just to sit down, chill, and hear you spill on some things. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I just wanted to get the thing started, you know what I'm saying? Because we got 2 hours, y'all. So, and if anybody can talk for 2 hours in a way that would keep people interested, it's my man, dude. So I guess I want to start by just asking some questions. Tell us about, because you dropped Christology in 1999,
mm-hmm.
Classic LP, changed the face of lyricism in holy hip hop forever, in my opinion, not just my opinion, but the opinion of many. Talk to us a little bit about what we're into. I guess bring the people from Christology,
okay,
which dropped in 99, all the way up to the thesis.
Okay.
What's been going on in between,
mm-hmm.
etc.
Okay. First of all, the Christology was meant to be something to advance the whole cause of Christian hip hop. When we came in, Cross Movement came into hip hop, we came in, you know, before Christian hip hop was doing what it's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
We came in at a time where there was a famine in the land, and the famine was not just for music, but it was for music that countered the secular, the dominant secular themes.
Right.
When we came in, it was about heady, weighty truth, or what, you know, weighty ideas. Back when Nas, there was an attack on Christ in hip hop at the time.
It's like the man in flip flop. Right.
So at the time, man, we hip hop almost made it fun to poke fun at Jesus Christ and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came in during a time where we wanted to boast in what was supposed to be our shame. We were supposed to be ashamed to be with Jesus Christ. We wanted to make him our boast.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we did on all of our albums. And actually, there was an underground, you know, community of people who longed to see Jesus Christ elevated in hip-hop that
mm-hmm.
apparently caught on, and that's how Cross Women got started.
Mm-hmm.
But we always came together as individuals who had individual areas of expertise or individual areas of passion and burden, and we said, you know what, we want to give people that sampler, but then we want to be able to give them an individual entree of each thing that's on the sampler.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all these artists who have different flavors. We said, man, some people may want a heavy dosage,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you go to Fridays, you get this sample, you got mozzarella, you got, you know, some potatoes, you know what I'm saying? You got wings. See, I just want potatoes. Now you can order, you know. So now it's like, I just want to get some ambassador.
Mm.
So I just happened to be first. Just a lot of things providentially made me first, not because I was the best, but because a lot of things lined up. And so I came out with Christology, trying to pump the person I was most in love with.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so put it out there, and like I said, during a certain time. Mm-hmm. In between, we wanted to put other solo acts out, but because of the nature of the industry and how tough it is, we weren't able to. So, and people are more into the corporate than an individual, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had to get back to putting out group projects before we were able to be in a position financially mm-hmm. and the scene to put out more solos.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, it took way longer than any of us anticipated.
Yeah, because it was a pretty big break between between Christology and
human emergency.
Was it human emergency and holy culture?
Yeah.
I remember for one of it was like a mad long, almost
human emergency
year break, right?
Yep. Yeah, until human emergency.
Okay.
And then, or was it not?
No, I think
you're right.
It was holy culture, human emergency
and
holy
culture.
What was up behind that? Why
once again,
long break?
Finances, deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were in between. You know, switching up. You know, looking for the proper connections.
Okay.
Whether it's distribution. The distributor we were with eventually collapsed and faded.
Okay.
It's industry. And plus we were on the move so much, you know, until Christian hip hop, you know, holy hip hop, whatever you want to call it, blew up, quote unquote.
Right.
We were so in demand because people looked at us as being one of the rare. You know, so it was hard to even do jams. Every project we feel were rush projects because by the time we realized we must have another one come out,
mm-hmm.
we were so taxed from always being gone that, you know, most of the projects didn't have the same marination, even that the Heavens Mentality had before
right.
there was any, you know, demands on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all the projects have had that rushed feel of, dang, I wear so many hats now, I got so much demand,
right.
I gotta find a way to, you know what I'm saying, to put together an album that represents where my heart is and what God, you know, wants for society. So,
mm-hmm.
make a long story short, Christology, of course, I went off to finish Bible College, LBC in Lancaster Bible College, and then I went there straight to seminary, in Dallas Theological Seminary. The reason is because the vision, it goes beyond rap.
Mm-hmm.
The vision one day will be to be qualified with both street cred as well as academic and ecclesiastical credit, you know, credentials.
Ecclesia what?
Ecclesiastical, you know, because we want credentials. We want credibility among church leaders. We want credibility among cats on the street, and we want credibility among those in academic circles.
Right.
In other words,
real quick.
Yeah.
I hear an objection coming as soon as you say that. There's somebody out there who would say, seminary, that's a cemetery.
Right.
Why do you need to go to seminary if you got the Holy Spirit?
Right. I mean,
speak on that, please.
Well, I will tell you this. The Bible makes it clear, man, that people perish for a lack of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It is the incomplete understanding of God. It's dealing with God like He's so simple. A couple of devotionals a day will, you know, get you in touch with God, and that's not really true. I mean, the idea is God is something to. He has depths to be explored, and as we explore the depths of the knowledge of God and the depths of the knowledge of what He's revealed, I know so many people who they stick to their favorite verses, they stick to their favorite books.
Right.
There's very few people that can tell you I've read every book of the Bible, every word of the Bible.
Right.
And one of the good things I liked is that seminary was a structured environment with deadlines and accountability that most of us don't get simply in our churches.
Right.
We should, but we don't. So me taking it serious and as like I said, and also seeking credibility in diverse spheres, decided I was going to go. Plus, in the evangelical Christian community, it's predominantly white.
Right.
And there are not many African-American or minority, period, teachers teaching Bible. So we go in there, we as African-Americans wanting to focus on the scriptures, and we can't even get anybody up there that looks like us. And we say, what's going on? And the first thing they'll tell you is, either they don't meet the qualifications, or those who do meet the qualifications don't want this to be the area that they, you know, deposit what they have. They go to where they're, you know, probably more culturally, adept.
Right.
So a brother like me said, well, I don't want that to be an excuse. So I will at least get the minimum qualifications, which
right.
is a THM in some of these circles. You know, Masters of Theology. It's
okay.
Slightly, it's more extensive and more academic than a Masters of Divinity.
Okay.
Masters of Divinity is more practical. It's more what you do in the field. Masters of Theology is more academically oriented.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to get that. One, it'll be a monument for our culture. And then me being part of the hip-hop culture
right. Made
it like, man, that's even more like, you know, oxymoronic. I can be hip-hop and heady, you know,
right. So
seminary-ish. And I said, yeah, I want that beautiful blend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, make a long story short, I got to Dallas and, you know, by now, Cross Movement is a, you know, is a national, even somewhat international name.
Right.
I have credibility. I'm in seminary. I'm loving a concentrated dosage of scripture.
Mm.
And after mad years, I'll be honest with you, the hip-hopper wants desperately to convince the Christian community that he does not idolize hip-hop. At least
right. The
Christian hip-hopper should.
Right.
Should want you to know who's Lord.
Right.
Hip-hop is not my Lord. Hip-hop is something much more subservient to my Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But to prove that, sometimes we try to disassociate ourselves from hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember me wanting to, you know, always to be, quote-unquote, just Christian, just Christian, just Christian. And
right.
I still do.
Right.
But what was happening was, my school was saying, do things here that will be a benefit to you in your ministry.
Mm.
Think about your target, who God has crafted you to meet, and do things that will have immediate benefit and impact there. And I had to be honest. I knew that the hip-hop community was a very under-evangelized community.
Absolutely.
It was a very underutilized community. So I knew God had called me to do it, because when I just exposit, when I just open up the Bible and explain it,
right. People
are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But when I exposit the scriptures in the context of and using imagery that's, you know, usually connected to hip-hop culture, there seems to be a greater awe. Man, I liked you when you just were explaining the Bible. But when you explain the Bible in relationship to this culture, I see a special something. You
right.
know, some people will call it anointing. Other people just say, man, God seems to be with you. You seem to be uniquely crafted for that.
Mm.
I like Tony Evans better than you on the exposition. But if Tony Evans had to comment and expose it and bring it in connection to hip-hop, he probably couldn't make that leap.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'm like, man, I'm regular as an expositor.
Right.
I'm unique as an expositor within a hip-hop framework.
Good.
So let me stop running from it. So I started really looking at hip-hop from a biblical and social perspective.
Mm.
And when I did that, I did it for a thesis. Because for a thesis, you have to write in depth about something that better interests you.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So I started trying to just write about something plain. You know what I'm saying? How many uses of the word car, you know, ace, the Greek word ace in the book of John.
Right.
You know, that's noble, but it wouldn't have kept my interest.
Right.
So
right.
I started looking at hip-hop, something that really Dallas Theological Seminary couldn't help me with. But some of the other pieces that you need, they helped me with. And thus birthed my actual seminary thesis. It was
okay.
on hip-hop. He looked at hip-hop as culture, looked at the understanding of culture, looked at the understanding of what Christian's responsibility to culture is.
Uh-huh.
And that birthed that thesis. Well, it was time for me to do another solo project. Wouldn't you know that God had so burdened me, and I saw just how ignorant, how much ignorance existed around the topic that it made me say,
the topic of
hip hop,
uh-huh.
the church, and culture.
Okay.
Those three things, there's a lot of misunderstanding surrounding those.
Right.
And that made me say, I'm going to make this album almost a musical version of my written thesis.
Okay. So now your written thesis is something that you, are you considering publishing that or what?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I did a scaled down version and I plan to just lure people into considering it to be turned into a published work, a book.
Okay.
Because I do believe that cats need to hear a more extensive argumentation around these subjects so that we can educate the church and fuel the gatekeepers in our churches to see hip-hop as a, to pity hip-hop as a needed mission field and then to dispatch them and to shift church budget even
right.
to make a commitment to this huge mission field that's right under their noses.
Mm.
and prime target for everybody. Like, you know, some people know that corporate America sees it.
Right.
Everyone sees it. It seems like except the church.
Except
so
the church.
I want to help bridge that gap.
Mm.
Okay.
Essence, you got something?
Yeah. Well, I was going to talk a little bit about the thesis, but you just talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone is sitting and they got the album. Could you explain some of the parallels that they might hear on that album with the thesis?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the thesis begins with a song that as the hook. It says Jesus makes everything right.
Jesus,
you know what I'm saying? And the idea is, I know the objection before we even get started. There's so much wrong in the world. There's so much wrong with hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
The believer says, but Jesus makes everything right. According to Colossians 1,
mm-hmm.
Starting with verse 14, it talks about Jesus Christ, God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, reconciling, taking that which was he had beef with.
Mm-hmm.
Formerly he had beef with everything because the world has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
He cursed everything. Romans talks about the earth continuing to moan and groan, waiting for God to completely make everything right,
yeah.
The full redemption. Even our bodies wake up aches and pains, saying, I can't wait till my body doesn't have aches and pains
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts off, Jesus makes everything right. And so the hook is like, look, we need this, right? And it says, it's problematic. Hip hop is problematic in that it's scary to like. The believer's like, man, I'm scared to like it.
Mm.
And we're saying, don't be scared because Jesus makes everything right.
Mm.
Jesus can give you a version of hip hop that's all right to like.
Mm.
And so it just gets right into an ambassador. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, God is sending out ambassadors of himself to the culture.
Mm.
And by the time you sort of get into the album, the ambassador, myself, I'm talking about how good it feels, how it can get you open, coming at hip-hop from this angle.
Mm.
Then I take a twist. I start, calling the elements of hip-hop to subjection, serve the Lord elements. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like personifying the elements or the people, who do these things. Come on, graph artists,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying graffiti artists. Come on, MCs. God is the one that gave you the gifts that allow you to do what you do. Use them for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes a pivotal switch right there, and it goes into talking about the challenge, the funny looks of hip-hoppers, the funny dress of hip-hoppers posing a problem. And then it goes into, but wait, don't blame their exterior, blame their interior, blame our interior, it's the heart. So by the time you get to track 10, it's Oh Wretched Man That I Am, and it admits that the heart is depraved, and that's the problem with hip-hop as it is with other cultures. And from there it goes on to call them back home, it goes on to lure them into a worship. Once you get them back home, watch them worship, and then it goes on into practical implications with body talk, and it closes with the fall, wrapping up, saying, yeah, the world's falling, but God is there to save it. So, yeah.
Look at that.
You know how it is. Cop that.
The method to the madness.
Yeah.
Breaking down the whole album like that.
Yeah.
And we ain't even going to talk about the hidden track. We ain't even going to talk about
it. Yo, it's a hidden track. Deep it. Y'all legs on it. He killed it.
Word, man. Okay, so you talked a lot about hip-hop. As a culture, let me ask you this: for the person who says, "Yo, why do you keep emphasizing hip hop so much?" It seems like it's too much about hip hop going
right,
on.
Right.
How would you address that?
Well, I'd say, yeah, man. First of all, you're right in noticing the increased attention on hip hop, but only because churches have a moment where they have a slideshow, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll have slideshows and, multimedia presentations because they're about to go and turn their attention on a unique people group. So if somebody says, I'm going to China, all of a sudden now, China's all over the place. It's on the screen, it's in the bulletin. We had somebody come up and talk about their missions trip to China, talking about an opportunity for others to go to China. Now, we're not neglecting Africa, we're not neglecting, some of the other places.
Right.
It's just that right now, this people wants to let you know about the people group that they've targeted in their hearts, and they've established resources, and they're rallying people to sympathize for the needs of a people. And so, you know, that's what I've done. I just draw people to which group we're targeting.
See, I think that's part of the problem, yo, is that people are not seeing hip-hoppers as a people group.
Absolutely.
That needs to be reached.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? They're seeing it as a culture that needs to be done away with, you know?
Right.
And I guess that makes sense, Essence, because hip-hop, I mean, when you look at it, okay, you can make a clear distinction between, okay, this person lives in China, this person lives in Indonesia, mm-hmm. but hip-hop is not... It's not a nationality,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And some people have even debates about whether or not it's even a legitimate culture.
Right.
So it's some weird, you
Absolutely.
Know what I'm saying?
Right. But look, this is what I liken it to. The war on terrorism posed a unique challenge for America. And one of the things they said is, because you can't go to anyone's shore
mm-hmm.
and do battle. Terrorism has seeped into the cracks and the crevices and the fabric of so many different societies that you need a different war approach.
Right.
And the same thing with missions. Sure, you could go to China, so I'm going to beat the Chinese. I'm going to take a flight to China for that.
Right.
But, you know, hip-hop is one of those cultures that transcends, you know, geographic locations and ethnic categories.
Right.
That's why we're saying... And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's why we're calling on people indigenous to the culture, because hip-hop itself has people from every nationality. Those people from all the different nationalities could, wherever hip-hop shows itself, pops its head up, they'd be the theologically informed to offer God's mindset mm-hmm. to this people group that's everywhere, it seems like.
That's good. That's good. And I think for people who haven't really traveled, you know what I'm saying, outside of America. Yo, hip-hop is everywhere,
Absolutely.
Yo.
Absolutely.
It's everywhere. I remember seeing a show with, it was, I forget what station it was on, but it was my man from DMC, from Run DMC, mm-hmm. was talking about how, this is back in the late 80s, this cat gets off the plane in Japan,
mm-hmm.
and like looks around like, yo, all these cats are hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't speak a lick of English,
right.
but know all the words to the jam.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And cat, Ghostface said the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely, it's unique, man.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we can't treat this like. So many people say, well, when we were growing up, they bring up their music genre.
Mm.
And they say, well, I used to listen to, it was just like this, or it was just like that.
Right.
Yo, man, hip-hop is unique, and you can't deny it. Just like Hellenism.
Mm.
All cultures have had impact on society, but in Jesus' day, there was probably no greater influence culturally than Hellenism.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The Greek infatuation. And Rome adopted it. I mean, I don't care where you go, there were cultures that adopted this secondary culture that almost became, but because of Alexander the Great's influence, almost was a universal second, almost like Americanism and English today.
Right.
So many countries have, I mean, American stuff and English there because America's impact is so widespread.
Right.
You know, and American culture starts creeping up in China, in Japan, in Africa. No matter what, you see the impact of Americanism
right.
there. That's how it is with culture. And you can't try to act like, I mean, with hip-hop, you can't act like it's just another little thing. It's not. It has reached heights that other, you know, little, you know, cultures and twists haven't reached.
Okay. So with that said, I want to begin to transition into just some of the recent attacks on hip-hop
mm-hmm.
coming from within the church, and I just want you to just address some specific arguments. One of the arguments goes like this. It says that hip-hop as a culture, You can't put Jesus into it because the culture itself is inherently evil. And so some people would look back to the origins of hip-hop, and some people wrongly point to people like Afrika Bambaataa, you know what I'm saying, Zulu Nation, and say that, okay, its roots are demonic. So how can you try to glorify God through a culture that is inherently demonic?
Right, right. Well, first of all, people have to understand what culture is. There can be no inherently demonic culture simply because, not when the culture is predicated on humanity. In other words, you have inherently sinful cultures. You don't have inherently demonic cultures. I would think that somebody would have to prove, where do you get that? How can you trace a culture's origin back to Satan himself or to the demons? I think that we're looking at, everyone in history knows the origin of hip-hop, right? And you can always say behind the scenes demons were at work, but the Bible says that they're working the sons of disobedience, so we know that they're involved, you know, with any culture. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so any culture outside of that being redeemed would be equated with
absolutely
any kind of wickedness.
Absolutely. In other words, and that's why we say every culture is fallen and therefore sinful. However, one of the things that, I want to just, even touch on, I don't know if this is the time to do it, just the whole understanding of what culture is.
Yeah, I think that's good.
When in doing my thesis, I had to basically look at what do we mean by culture. And it's so many different, definitions or descriptions of culture. And I just want to review a couple of them. One of them is the common ideas, feelings and values that guide community and personal behavior that organize and regulate what the group thinks, feels, and does about God, the world, and humanity. A believer came up with that one. Here's one that's sort of simpler. All that is in human society, which is socially rather than biologically transmitted. In other words, you're not born this way. And this is what takes it out of your essence, and it begins to show you that culture is not what it is, essentially, it's how you've been conditioned. You know what I'm saying? So even if the demons have influenced you through their impact on society,
right,
God saves people. You know what I'm saying? He saves and that's why we're born again, because there's nothing you can do to improve who we are in Adam. You must take us out of Adam and put us in Christ. Listen to this other one. It says that culture is a response or various human expressions. Cultures are the creations of groups of humans in response to the dictates of particular life circumstances. Lastly, because we're going to look at that one. Culture is the expression in words and works of the spirit of a particular people who inhabit a particular time and place. Now just look at that, man. Culture is no more than the expressions, either by in their words or their works, expressing what's truly inside them. Now granted, this is why we have to get to the place where we understand everything is off base. But nothing is the devil's ownership. He doesn't own it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want you to expound on that a little bit.
When you
say nothing is the devil's ownership.
Okay. This is what I mean. Everything is under his jurisdiction, but he's not the boss. In other words, when we look at Job, it says that Job teaches us, the book of Job teaches us that Satan must come in and ask God for permission to do certain things.
Right.
Now, like I said, everything is under his ownership unless, redeemed by God.
Right.
So, but even when we start talking about the unbeliever, who Satan doesn't have to ask permission for anything, one of the things that Satan can't do is to determine their eternal destiny. Right. God determines that.
Amen.
So all I'm saying is that everything is under his care and his jurisdiction, but God trumps him.
Right.
So when Jesus Christ comes in, he can destroy the works of the devil.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying the devil doesn't own it, because there's someone who can come and take it from
him. The stronger.
Exactly. The stronger.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying if culture is what a fallen human society comes up with as a response to their life circumstances, as a response to where they are in time and in this place, then what they come up with is a human concoction that God has okayed. Like, in other words, you know, Genesis 1:26-28 says that God told man, go out in this world and do something with it. Till it, have responsibilities and do your thing. Genesis chapter 3, we know that man fell. God cursed everything. He says, now with struggle, you're going to have to go out there and do everything.
Right.
So now everything we're doing, we do against the grain of God's curse. But what we have is Satan there to help keep people from coming to the knowledge of God. And so now all we have to do is, through God's grace, we have to give the message that God came up with that can break through that blinding that Satan's doing. God has to remove the scale from their eyes so that they latch on to his message and in turn switch teams, and then it's a whole new ball game. So I think, you know, from a cultural standpoint, hip-hop has to be recognized as this thing that humans came up with,
right,
that God still looks and says, I can do something to it to get it to a place where I don't have to oppose it. He's opposed to it at first, but not because of its essence, because the essence of it is just what humans are doing. He's the one that put men on a mission to go in his world and come up with ways to survive in society.
Right.
The question is now, will there be any missionary effort to do to hip-hop what God did when he came? And this is the thing, Abraham was a pagan when God got him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got this, you know, this Hittite that God comes and introduces himself to. So he's a pagan worshiper. God introduces himself to him, and God transforms him. Now, he's still Hittite-ish. I mean, that's all he's ever known sociologically.
But his
theological connection is different. And now God makes a new people out of him that would be a whole bunch of other people that are from that region. And then eventually it began to spread. So when you look at them socially and when you look at them culturally, they look like their neighbors.
Right.
That's why God had to introduce new things to distinguish them from their neighbors. You know what I'm saying? I know this is getting a little weighty, but I'm just saying that we look like our neighbors.
Right.
But it's our theology, and therefore our theology, which begins to reinform our practice, that begins to distinguish us from our neighbors, so that when I look at you, you still look like a black man, you still look like a white man, you still look like a this man, you still look like a that man.
Right.
But when I start hearing what you think about eternity, when I start what you think about sin, what you think about human origin, what
a
you think about a worldview, now all of a sudden you look different than your neighbors. And now you're, when I see you with somebody else is smoking weed, somebody else is smoking weed, you know what I'm saying? You look like your neighbors. Somebody says, I'm going to stop smoking weed. Now you look different than your neighbors, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I look at it down on that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, something?
No, I mean, that's just a parallel with even the Gentiles, you know, bringing them in, you know.
Excellent.
Same thing. So what happened with Abraham was kind of a visual picture of what happens on the inside and spiritually.
Absolutely. Paul makes that point. He says, in Romans, he says, when was Abraham justified? When he was a Jew, or before he was a Jew? And it was before he was a Jew. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, we get into that place where people just gotta understand that that's what hip hop is. It's a big, it's a lot, you know, with one strong man in it, Satan. And Jesus, but the stronger man can come in and bind him. Because that's what got to happen. If you want to switch regimes, somebody stronger has to come in and move the one who's in control.
Yeah.
That's what we're telling people. Hip-hop has a strong man, it's Satan. But Jesus Christ can overcome.
So what do you say to somebody who would say, first of all, yes, I can get with rap, and I can get with the message that you put into rap, but the culture itself is not redeemable. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got the song The Elements. You know, when you talk about the four elements, you talk about the MC and the DJ and the breakdance and the good. Somebody might say, hold on, you can't breakdance. How are you gonna breakdance to the glory of Christ? How would you answer that?
Well, see, and this is the challenge.
Right.
We begin to think that what we do, like, there's a word called ethnocentrism.
Mm.
It's when you think what's normal for you is what? The standard of what is right for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, churches, there's what we, some people know in certain church circles as a certain dance. It's called a holy dance. You know what I'm saying? When the band goes,
right.
There's something that goes on in certain churches. There's a movement called dance. Now, the question is, what is that and how is it right?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what we have to ask ourselves is, if breakdancing is just dancing. The Bible says that David danced.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it looked like,
right.
But the Bible tells us that David danced.
Yeah, you know, David was doing some backspins, some windmills, you know what I mean? A little upright, you know what I'm saying?
So can you imagine? And in his culture, for the king, however he was dancing, it was in a way that wasn't dignified.
Right.
Now, granted, he came out of his royal guard. He's
rocking the ephod.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He takes all of that off, and even his wife was upset, like, man, you're dancing like a regular person. So
right.
We know that he wasn't doing a special spiritual dance.
Right.
There is no special spiritual anything. Mm. Everything must be consecrated. And that's the thing.
Mm.
You know, there was bread in the tabernacle. I mean, everybody ate bread.
Right.
But bread in the tabernacle set apart for use is what consecrated it.
Yeah.
There were utensils in the tabernacle or the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Those utensils were the utensils everybody had. However, what they were set apart for was what consecrated them. It's what purpose. There was kings.
Mm.
There were prophets. There were priests. Each of them who were distinct in what are you being used for,
right,
is what gave them a consecrated value. And we're saying that all these dances and all these things, when set apart for a certain use, become consecrated and acceptable to God. Now, if they're doing things God has strictly forbid, so when a brother grabs himself,
right,
you know,
right,
because that's a common hip-hop move, or sticks his middle finger out as, yeah, top that. Well, now you've crossed different lines because just morally and ethically, thus wrong, and God has something to say about that.
Right.
But when the dance doesn't cross any of the lines, the moral, ethical, spiritual lines, then the dance is cool.
Now see that, and I guess that's really a tricky area.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you're getting into the realm of some things within hip hop culture can be pleasing to God, but then other things are
but
not.
But they're not unique to hip hop.
Mm.
In other words, there's nothing that's unique to hip hop that's displeasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you say drugs, like I say, grabbing yourself, but that's everywhere. Those things were sins before hip hop got in. In fact, these are the sins of the people.
Mm.
The sins of the sinful people of hip hop, they bring their sins and their sinfulness to the culture.
Right.
So what we're talking about is hip-hop in and of itself. You can strip it down to built on the foundation of four elements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. If you say that hip-hop is a movement or a culture built on the foundation, you strip it down to its common denominator,
mm-hmm,
rapping is a certain type of poetic oratory. You know what I'm saying? It's lyrics. It's a unique kind of poetry. It's just verbal communication.
Right.
Dancing is artistic expression. We have dancing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turntablism, tricks with the turntable, so that you do more than just lift the arm up and place it on a record and back up.
Right.
You do different things with it. And graffiti art, which is just art displayed, Lord willing, not on public property.
Right.
Now you've got four things that are everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world you have these things.
Mm.
And that's what we're saying. When you put them together, and then the style and the slang and some of the other things that help to solidify a culture, the ideas and the ideals, you know, hip-hop, keeping it real, you know, innovation.
Mm.
I mean, these are just blanket things that are everywhere.
Mm.
And it's uniquely summed up, you know, under the banner of hip-hop. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's nothing unique to hip-hop is against God, nothing at its essence. Mm. But that which is prevalent in hip-hop can be an offense to God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the sinfulness is expressed through these neutral modes of expression.
Mm.
The modes of expression express good and bad morals, good and bad ideas, good and bad, and that's what God is against.
Mm.
What we express, what we communicate, what we transmit,
mm.
that's what's in the heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a B-boy doing something, a Christian B-boy, two of them doing the same thing, one of them could be doing it to get attention and props, which we would never know he was doing.
Right.
And then another one doing it as worship to the Lord in his heart.
Right.
So it's something that we can't even see necessarily.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes their motive surfaces, you know what I'm saying, and you can see, because they're like looking at, getting mad at the crowd, like,
right.
You didn't like that, like, come on, where's mine?
Right.
But, and the idea is, even if it's not worship to the Lord, right, what we're saying is that, like, there comes a point where God's not concerned. Like, he's not concerned. Like, ultimately, God is concerned that everything is to the praise of his glory.
Right.
But the idea is, you know, something as simple as eating and drinking can be done to the glory of God, right? Done with God in mind, right? So all I'm saying is, you know, if you have somebody that's out there just, you know, just dancing because that's a part of life,
mm.
that's what humans do. In other words, humans have, there's something called humanity,
mm.
human existence. It's just, it's what it is, except it's fallen, so it needs to be redeemed.
Right.
But we're talking about just human existence and what humans do.
Right.
That's what makes us. God made us to exist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The things that we do, that he had to condescend to become a part of, he did the same thing. You know, Passion of Christ, one thing I liked is they just showed Jesus as a boy just running and tripping.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? They showed him, you know what I'm saying, making a table.
Right.
There's nothing spiritual about these things. They're just part of human life. And God says there's a nobility to just being human.
That's good.
Just regular human stuff before it's spiritual or not. Before it's just human. Just that in of itself has a nobility.
There's
because
a
Psalm 8, exactly,
yeah.
a
yeah.
dignity. Because Psalm 8, even the psalmist said, I can't believe it. What's so special about us? When I look at the heavens, I see it's big. When I look at the sun, it's bright. When I look at humans, what is man that you're mindful of him? You know what I'm saying? Man, what is it about us that you think so much about? You crown them with majesty. Where's our majesty? It's the fact you're human. You know what I'm saying? Why is it that when the demons messed up, they're reserved for judgment? No ifs, ands, or buts. When humans messed up, God's called out a people for himself.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so, anyway, it gets rough, man. It's deeper than one session, but people have to learn to stop wrongfully dividing what we call sacred and secular.
Mm.
We have to learn that, you know, all things start off, you know, a certain place, and, you know, where they're being tilted or who's in control is, you know,
what the issue is. One of the things, you know, you talked about the idea of, you know, cultural ethnocentricity.
Okay, yeah.
Or cultural elitism.
Right.
You know, the idea that that my culture is, there's something inherently godly or spiritual about my culture.
Absolutely.
As opposed to yours. And it kind of reminded me of just the whole Western missionary movement. You know what I'm saying? Where cats. And praise God, it's a good idea. Foreign missions is a great thing.
Yeah,
that's the Great Commission. That's what God has called us to do. But one of the problems with the Western missionary movement is that cats from the West would go to the East, to a place like Africa, to one of the countries in Africa, deliver the gospel, praise God.
Absolutely.
But then, on top of the gospel, come with these forms, these external forms, whether it be of worship or of dress, and kind of added that on to, on top of the gospel. So it became the kind of thing where, okay, I'm feeling your God, but you, like, the way that you're expressing this God is a way that is completely foreign to everything that I know. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and that's why I love the message of, you know, my clothes, my hair.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, it, you know, many times you think, and I know I definitely went through this when I came to the Lord, and You know, I started going to my mom's church after I got saved, and I was a hip hop cat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was just me, you know. But it was like this subtle and sometimes not so subtle push to, hey, brother, you gotta, you know what I'm saying? You gotta do it like this. You gotta throw on a tie or something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta throw on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just like, wait a minute, like, where is that in the scriptures?
Right. Mm. By that logic, we would all have to go back to Hebrew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's not like American started the culture of Christianity.
Right.
Christianity community. So to use anything American would be wrong, but I sin.
Right.
You know, anything current, modern, whatever. And
that's good.
Essentially, you're going to become like an Amish person. You know, you're missing the whole point.
Mm.
You know, people don't realize, I mean, to cut you off, essence. You know, all our current pictures of Jesus come during the Renaissance era, you know, over there in Europe, Italy, you know what I'm saying? And it's almost like they painted Jesus to look like their ideal.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And it was such a booming time in history that it's transcended the era so that almost everybody's picture of Jesus looks like their ideal from back during the Renaissance.
The
funny thing is now, you almost feel funny when you have a Jesus that doesn't look like the Jesus that we all know as, you know. If a dude looks like that Jesus, you say he looks like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? The dude with the long hair and the full beard.
Right.
He looks like Jesus, right? And the funny thing is that we get stuck thinking that's what Jesus looked like, and that's what spirituality looks like. It's the form that's most popularly known. So when you close, you know, you put your hands in front of you, you know, and you bow your head, you say, oh, he looks like he's praying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you could be not praying at all.
Right.
You could be getting ready to play patty cake. You know what I'm saying? But it looks like you're praying. So it's the most popular forms become the norms. And that's what, you know, we want the Christian community to understand, that in a changing globalized world, you can't be stiff on your forms. You can't, because forms are changing, because people are different. And that's the beauty of America.
Yeah.
It's the acceptance of acceptance of differences. And so, what can you do?
Yeah. Now, what do you say to? And I know I'm hitting you with a lot of questions. But I want to try. I mean, we got time, and I want to try to just be thorough. Hope y'all still tuning in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We just really, it's just a blessing, man, just to be able to get it in.
Yeah.
Once again, this is Shy Lin with my man DJ Essence. We're here with Ambassador on the Common Denominator at Holy Culture Radio. And we're just discussing just the idea of hip hop culture, you know what I'm saying, and whether or not it's inherently evil. I guess my question is, as one of my questions is, what, and I've heard you do spills on this at shows about the idea that once the hip hopper comes from the world, saved, you know what I'm saying? They're doing hip-hop in the world. They are hip-hop in the world. They get saved, come to Christ. Then it's time for them to get incorporated into the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, would you agree that there's some things that need to be shed and some things that can be kept? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, all of us, every culture, you know, has the challenge of allowing the Word of God to come in and clean house. And that's what it is. Christ, that's why we use words like come into your heart, you know. God is not coming into your heart, really. What we're saying is his heart begins to dominate what was your heart. You want your heart and his heart to align themselves. You want your heart aligned with his heart. And what happens is those things about us that we've got from just living in a sinful society, the light of God's truth exposes where it doesn't look like what he intended for us. So anything in hip hop that we got from hip hop, anything that we got through the hip hop message or through the hip hop messenger, through hip hop style, in other words, culture, God wants to, he's preparing a new people who look differently. So, what we wanted, what I think what hip hop does is, hip hop is known for being arrogant. You know, one of the responses to marginalization is it went from, you don't know who I am, to, you know who I am? You know what I'm saying? So hip hop is known for bringing visibility in the sense it goes from dignity to arrogance. And God hates arrogance. So now all of a sudden, something that's acceptable in hip hop for you to brag, that's norm in hip hop, and it's if you brag well enough, people even like it.
Right.
The better you brag, the more I like you.
Right.
Well, what happens when God says, I hate bragging? Well, you let that portion of what your culture taught you go, and you
or
adopt.
Or you should.
Or you
that.
Should.
Right.
You should,
right.
And you
right.
adopt. Let this mind, Philippians 2, be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who didn't come flamboyantly bragging and saying, yo, give me what's due me since I'm the best human being to ever walk the planet. Treat me like it. He came and he humbled himself, being found in the appearance of a man. You know what I'm saying? He humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on the cross. In other words, he allowed himself to take the load. So I think there's a lot of stuff. And hip hop makes it almost seem cool to do drugs. You know what I'm saying? You gotta let that go. Hip hop makes it cool to, you know, basically, you know, be violent to an individual, move, get out the way. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
And then it's like, yo, you adopt the virtues and the ethics of Christ, and then what you find is you're really only left with a few, the base forms, the basic forms of hip hop. But hip hop, from the Christian side, needs to blend the styles and the forms of hip-hop with the character and the message of Jesus Christ, and then you have something new. You have Christian hip-hop.
But I think one of the places where Christian hip-hop has dropped the ball in this area is just in the whole area of what you just talked about, as far as with pride, you know what I'm saying, as far as with, there's a whole contingent of Christian hip hoppers who would say that it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Or
hip hop.
That's hip hop. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm boasting in my skills, you know what I'm saying? And they try to twist it and make it seem like that's a godly thing to do. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like we, because one of the criticisms is that, you know, the arrogance of worldly hip hop has seeped into Christian hip hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I almost want to be like, no, it's not true. But then I listen to a lot of things and it's like, well, it is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
like in the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, it said, yo, y'all doing stuff here that's not even named among the unbelieving Gentiles. So not only do you have what we'll discuss as a Christian, you got Christian hip hoppers that make the world look positive. That's why you got cats who look at a godless, quote unquote, conscious rapper,
right?
And they'll say he's positive, and they'll be mad at the Christian. Like,
right.
You're not positive. Yeah. So I know exactly what you mean in the area of pride, especially. But you know that comes from a lack of discipleship. It's a lack of them being conformed to Christ's image. They don't realize how, unlike Christ, they look at that moment, and they prioritize looking like hip-hop over looking like Christ. And that's what God's people have always struggled with. It's God intended you to do it differently, but you're still heavily influenced by the culture around you, and that's the problem. Unsubmitted, untransformed Christians in hip-hop.
And so that's why you talked about hip-hop properly submitted to the glorious Lord.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Properly, because there's a way to submit it properly. And, I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, I want to crown him. I was saying, you know, hip-hop, I'm trying to get you in your Bible. I mean, that's the problem. Most hip-hoppers are not in their Bibles. Well, I mean, definitely the world. And in the Christian hip-hop, they're not in the Bibles. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we got to get to the place where we go to war on the parts of hip-hop or the things that hip-hop transmits. Because remember, culture transmits socially rather than biologically.
Mm.
And so we're saying there's stuff being transmitted that, you know, that Jesus Christ is trying to transmit the opposite.
Mm.
And so you got to forsake. That's why the Bible calls this a death. In Christ, you die to yourself and you start picking up those traits that he exhibited. He's the perfect human to follow.
That's good. That's good. Now we're gonna come back to this just to kind of this is heavy, yo. some real weighty truth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Want to just talk about some of the music.
Okay.
One of the questions that comes up a lot is just the direction of the music. Musically, in terms of the beat selection, concerning CM, concerning you, I know from myself listening to Christology and then listening to the thesis, it's sonically is completely different. Just want you to talk a little bit about that.
A couple of things. Christology, I had a lot to do with the production.
You had a lot to do with the production.
Yeah, on Christology, but I have very limited. You know,
but you made some of the beats?
You
cast on
that. No, he did. You made a beat on what album? Mm-hmm. Christology?
Yeah, I made a lot of beats on Christology.
Okay. Look at this making beats.
Brother.
You made the, one of my favorite joints. What was it? Did you make the beat for Hold It Down?
Oh, yeah. Woo. Yo, hold your ground.
Hold your ground.
Yeah.
Hold your ground.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was,
I regret it that I couldn't be involved in this project. Just time.
Mm.
I mean, just time to get re-familiar. You know, when I went off to school, I got away, and the technology has changed so much. Even my own squad, they use more than just, you know, an MPC and a record, which is how Christology was basically that, and a couple of bass keys and a keyboard.
Mm. So production is something that you definitely, are you still interested in that? Or?
Yeah, but I'm praying God. Yeah, I'm praying that with all the hats, you know, that I'll be wearing, that I have a chance to, you know, get back in it.
Mm.
But sonically, first of all, you know, back in the days after Heaven's Mentality and even House of Reps, we went to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Now, internationally, because of our roles and our true ambassadorial calling, we were going where commercial hip-hop is the only thing that's mass exported out to most of these places. Most of these places tune into the high profile, so MTV, which you know is only going to play a certain type of hip-hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you've got a certain type of hip-hop. It's more the more commercial hip-hop, you know, from a musical standpoint. And so what was happening was we were noticing that we are fans of the hip-hop that really propped up heavy, you know, lyrical content, you know, in what could be considered less, more bland beats. Before, you know, P. Diddy and the Remix came and really switched things up to more of a every song should be a club banger, as they say.
Right.
And so now the world is listening to club hits even more so than just stuff that's geared to help you intake a lot of heavy words.
Right.
So what was happening was we started noticing that we were going missions trips and they were used to the hip-hop that makes the top 10, top 40, top... And... people were coming out, whole schools were coming, and they were like, their appetite wasn't trained for what we were giving them.
Mm-hmm.
So they like it, but they didn't like it as much as just some fun old, you know, dance music. So what we started doing was it really made us feel obligated to think about the world and not just the small contingent of people who were going to, quote unquote, give us respect.
Right.
And so we started thinking about the world needs. So we began to experiment. And every album really has been us experimenting, just seeing what we could do. Always trying to have at least one that was for somebody we thought wanted something different. And it frustrates people, you know, our core group that says, I wanted to continue to hear X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But for us, we still are, we're that transitional group too. Mm. Still fishing, coming from both eras, not always liking everything. I don't like all of the beat selection that I do. I usually get it because I'm thinking about let me see if this is something that somebody would feel. And sometimes I do something that I say, yo, they liked it. Like, Rise Up, you know what I'm saying, or Holy Culture. You know, a lot of people like that. And then sometimes it's like, I didn't like it that much. Like, On Right Now, some people, you know. On Human Emergency.
On Right Now, that was Detroit.
I don't see you a certain type of, you know what I mean? That's one I did, you know what I'm saying? Right, so, like, man. If I do it, you know, it's not as up on some. So, anyway, I just think sonically that the music changes and we do it because we too are still groping in the dark of this ever changing world to think world and not just think black.
So basically, you're making strategic decisions. In terms
not
of,
based on what we like all the time. Not based on what, but that ain't you. You're right. But I'm trying to grow me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to work with how things are changing. I'm trying to reinvent, trying to, you know. And because we spend our time in such a small circle on the circuit.
Right.
Sometimes it's hard to grow musically because, you know what I mean? There's not much around you. You know, the way we move, you don't have much around you to help you, you know, to improve. But I praise God for, you know, Lamp Mode and, you know, some other cats out there that, I mean, it's doing things and it reminds you of, you know, how to get back, you know, to certain things. And so I think God is still using it.
Yeah.
But it definitely will get you a lashing, right. A rashing from the people who wanted to hear certain things.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, like I said, you've been involved with Christian hip hop, holy hip hop for a while now. Can you talk a little bit just about the state of holy hip hop, where it is right now, where you would like to see it go, where it's come from?
Yeah, I'll give people my whole history. When, you know, I didn't have a holy hip hop anybody to influence my angle. I literally just infused Jesus into the secular hip hop I understood. But I remember coming in and hearing some of the cats that were in holy hip hop, Christian hip hop. I can remember when they seemed like they were taking hip hop's platform and using it to place this hard pill to swallow, the gospel. It's hard for the hood to swallow it. I can almost remember sensing a frustration with how that message hinders sales and popularity. And I can remember seeing this drastic shift and this preoccupation with trying to stress we don't have to bear that limiting message called the gospel in our music. We could just be Christians who rap. In other words, I'm a Christian in my tucked away faith, but when you hear my music, it will have nothing to do with anything that's in my internal convictions. I'm just going to be creative.
Right.
And that's not sin, but I thought that the whole reason why there was a Christian arm in hip-hop was because if the secular wouldn't allow such a Christ-dominated hip-hop in, so you know, because if you're going to just rap regular, I figured you could just be a regular rapper.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you're going to be a Christian rapper because I'm obsessed with this message like Jeremiah. If I shut up my bones, if I don't bring this message, I start getting antsy. So, you know, Christian hip-hop seemed like it went from being about upholding Christ explicitly to throwing the limiting piece overboard. So it's almost like a ship that's, you know, struggling. So what do? You look for what can help the ship not struggle. So you throw certain things overboard. A hot air balloon. I want to go higher. What do? You throw sandbags over to go higher. Well, I want to go higher in the world's popularity. I want to go higher in my sales. I want to go higher in my... What do? What's holding this down? Hey, this Jesus stuff. Throw that overboard. And so wow. I think people threw it overboard. So then you had a time when nobody wanted to bear the weight of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, Paul says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me as prisoner, because the Jesus was giving Timothy the heat. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. That's why he had to say that.
Right.
Well, then all of a sudden, they still didn't go anywhere. People threw Jesus overboard and still didn't go anywhere. Only a few groups.
Right.
Then we came on the scene happy to brag about Jesus, and we started going somewhere. It was almost like, that doesn't work. How is it working? And then people would say this, well, it works for you all, but it won't work for many others. And then we started noticing Jesus coming back in the hip-hop all of a sudden. And I think because people thought it was a means of gain.
Right.
CM did it, and they started getting some of the stuff we threw him overboard to get. Let's bring him back in. And then they brought him back in. And of course, people weathered that Jesus-centricity, more skill, better production started coming. And then they started saying, now, let's throw him back overboard. And so now what I think you have is a blend or a wide variety of people who keep him off the ship in an attempt to go high, others who put him on the ship in an attempt to go high, and it's this attempt to go high that's the primary problem. Whether you throw him overboard or put him in to go high, that's wrong.
Are you preaching
down? Yeah, I mean, now it's, you must seize, this is your opportunity to get in ministry. In other words, is this the best way for me to echo the scriptures, echo the transforming messages that our society needs? If this is just your livelihood, you can choose what you want to do. But if this is your way to imitate the heroes of the faith that thought it a privilege to make Christ known, then do that. And if that keeps you poor, rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer on account of him. If it makes you rich, you know, look at your humble situation and say, Dad, this thing then messed around here and got me some money. I better be careful lest the love of what it's gotten me start taking me away from the love I had for the one who got me here.
And so at this point, where do you see Holy Hip Hop needing to go?
I think Holy Hip Hop needs to... I think we need a move of conferences, literally. We need literary material, and we need the whole hip-hop community to come together and be heavily indoctrinated on the way God thinks, the way Christ thinks. I believe that right now, people don't know how God thinks on issues. So, on the issue of what does God think about human popularity, since that's one of the heavy driving forces in music industry. What does God think about using the powerful? What does God think about using the weak? What I think we need an indoctrination. Holy Hip Hop needs to be hit with Christian thinking, to be thought to think Christianly. I think that Holy Hip Hop needs to continue to do what it's doing in terms of improving from a, you know, sonic and, you know, from an artistic standpoint. But I think the greatest need in Christian hip hop right now, Holy Hip Hop, is to understand what it means to be Christian, what it means to be holy, and then for them to inform their art based on their faith, based on the historic faith of Christians. Because that's what stood the test of time. The scriptures and Christian thinking, proper biblical Christian thinking, has stood the test of time. If we can do that, we will have a timeless skeleton, you know what I'm saying, a timeless frame that we can drape timely garb on.
That's good. Would you say your overall, are you encouraged right now in terms of the state of Holy Hip Hop?
Nope. I'm encouraged at God's remnants. Little remnants I see every now and then. People who seem to count all things as lost compared to the passing greatness of knowing him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what Paul said. He said, this is a loss. Not because it's a loss compared to the chance to get to know him. And I want to know him on two fronts. I want to know what it's like to be powerful in him, and I want to know what it's like to join in suffering like he did. And I think that right now I'm not encouraged by Holy Hip Hop overall, because I don't hear enough people who sound like they've sat at the feet of Jesus. I hear a lot of people who sound like they've been in church. I see a lot of people who sound like mainstream American teaching. Like, in other words, this is common from an American cultural standpoint. We all God's children. Like, in other words, you didn't get that from the Bible.
Right.
You heard enough American people say stuff like that, and you thought it was Bible.
Right.
God helps those who helps themselves. You didn't get that from the Bible. You heard enough American people say that, and you begin to think that's a Christian.
Ben Franklin.
Yeah, Ben Franklin.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, I believe right now that it's hard to be encouraged, and in the gatekeepers. Gatekeepers, they, you know, the industry and churches, they don't choose like God chooses. God chooses David's. Humans choose Saul's. I think that we still have a lot of people who I don't care that this person is a proud homosexual, a practicing homosexual. I don't care if this person doesn't know the Bible, one lick of the scriptures. I don't care if this person is one of the leading causes of immorality. If they do anything that has the concept of God near it, we will elevate them because we elevate that.
Wow.
And I think that right now we don't have people who look like they're teaching society how God is different than our natural inclinations. Our natural inclination is to choose the tall dude on our basketball team, not the short dude. Sometimes the tall dude is the worst asset to the team, and the short dude is what you need. Well, that's how it is with God. It's like God doesn't choose the big and the pompous and the mighty and the noble. He usually chooses the weak and the obscure, because then his strength is made perfect. But that doesn't get good ratings, and it's hard to run a business choosing stuff that looks like it'll sink the business. Yet that's how God used to do it. Looks like David's going to lose the war against Goliath. Why would we let him go out there?
Right.
And then why would we let him go out there in such unimpressive war material, with such unimpressive war materials?
Right.
God is teaching us over and over again, that's how he likes to do it. And since, you know, I think the Christian music industry at large is not operating that way. So it's very discouraging, but my encouragement is Jesus makes everything right.
Wow. Wow. The M.
Yo.
Wow. He's not encouraged. That's
yeah, I'm not.
That's real talk right there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You know what I mean? All of y'all on hip-hop, I'm not being overly critical or judgmental. I'm just saying I'm encouraged in the midst of it. I'm not encouraged because of it. That's what I'm saying.
Somebody's going to say, man, he just hating. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a whole bunch of holy hip-hoppers that's out there doing their thing
and
right now.
I would be encouraged if that was what was being broadcasted. But unfortunately, what you hear the most noise about is what the media, you know, it's always like that.
Yes.
You don't know about what's going on. I'm encouraged by that. A whole bunch of holy hip hop. I agree with you. There's a whole bunch. It's just they're so under the radar that it's hard to rejoice about what's most public. And that's the key. I'm not encouraged by what's publicized about holy hip hop. What's harped on. You know what I mean? But I'm encouraged within holy hip hop because God's got faithful all scattered.
What's it going to take for holy hip-hop to blow up?
I believe that the only way that anything blows up is through death. You know, anything Christian always has blown up through death. I think the fame of Jesus Christ will blow up before holy hip-hop does. And if holy hip hop, like, I don't see it, like, a lot of, this is going to get me in trouble. I don't know if holy hip hop needs to blow up. Simply because, unless it's faithful to God. Because a lot of stuff that's called holy hip hop is no more than regular hip hop.
Right.
And that's already blown up. So, I'm saying, I think holy hip hop must be, we need it to the point where anybody hungry for it knows where to find it and knows who's doing what in it. In other words, it needs greater visibility. Most people don't think that's not blowing up. Blowing up is now I'm in a house because of my holy hip hop.
Right.
So if we mean greater visibility, I think that the gatekeepers need to get their hands off of, they need to come up off the keys and open the door for stuff that God could.
Who are you speaking about when you talk about the gatekeepers?
Pastors, parents, and industry, and radio programmers, and industry heads.
Elders.
I think people who are actually outside of the hip hop, you know, generation need to open the door. You know, the Gentiles, when the kingdom was opened, you know who was the first missionaries to the Gentiles? Jews. the very ones who had the gate closed to Gentiles became the very ones who rammed the doors down and said they too are. And that's what I'm saying. We need people to stop wondering. Well, we don't have an audience for that. Most of our people don't like that. We need to begin to teach people that there is a strand of hip-hop that is surrendered to God, properly submitted to the glorious Lord, that we should welcome in, and we should examine that it's the same thing as that. That's what the Jews said. The Gentiles are displaying the same kind of thing that happened to us at Pentecost. But I think when you see the same stuff happening, the exaltation of Jesus Christ, the proliferation of godly, you know, teaching and the historic faith, when you see the same thing, you can say, hey, the same stuff. Let's do the same thing we would do for our stuff. Let's prop it up. Let's promote it. Let's facilitate it. So,
can you talk a little bit about the Why Hip Hop campaign?
Same thing we were just talking about. Why Hip Hop campaign is our way of saying, answering the question, why hip hop? Whether it's why deal with it, why put up with it, why facilitate it, why empower it. Why hip hop? And our answer is, what's more prime today? The church is a steward of the things of God. She's been entrusted. According to Jude, it says, I want to write to you about our common faith. You know what I'm saying? Which was entrusted once for all to the saints. We've been given a trust. God is not looking for the world to teach the world about him, but he is looking to the church, the people of God, universal. So, with that being said, we're looking at, you know, why hip-hop? Why is it not okay to ignore it, neglect it, oppress it, or abandon it? And we got a whole bunch of because's. And that's what that campaign is trying to deal with. It's trying to deal with the things we're speaking about during this segment. You know, hip-hop from a stewardship campaign must be utilized, because that would be like saying, I'm not going to travel Rome's roads and take the gospel anyway, because Rome, the very oppressive, you know, empire that's oppressing us, we don't want to use their roads. It's like, nah, Rome made the roads and... You know, but, you know, they made the roads can be traveled, and they can send an army to take over, or they can send a missionary to bring, you know, peace. And so we're saying, why hip-hop? Because it's an excellent way to get into the psyche of a world that's tuned into hip-hop for the purpose of hearing what you got to say. One of the things about hip-hop is, hip-hop is different. Like, R&B is geared to make you groove, bump, and grind.
Right.
The whole form, the genre, is geared to make you grind.
Right.
Right? People don't say, I want a banging hip-hop headbanger on my wedding night when I get in the sheets. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't even go to it for that. But you do go to, you know, at a certain soundtrack. There's a certain place for hip-hop, because what it's designed for. One of the things that we know is that hip-hop is designed to inform you of something. The key to a hip-hop song is its hook. So it's that, what do you want me to walk away here with? You know what I'm saying? And its verses are geared to give you meat on the bone, that bone. Well, that's what we're saying. We're saying hip-hop in and of itself. Why hip-hop? Because it's, as a genre of music, it's designed to give you a message and to unpack that message with the verses.
Right.
Use it. Because the Christian has been sent to the world with a message and the charge to unpack that message. Hip-hop, why hip-hop? Because hip-hop is about displaying externally its mindset. Whether it's shirts with slogans, shirts with characters, shirts with, whether it's clothes, whether it's caps, whether it's fashion, it's flamboyant, it's a city on a hill which can't be hid. Believers are told to be cities on a hill which can't be hid. Don't have Jesus in your heart only. Have Jesus in a position where he can't be mistaken for something else. Cities on the hill. Why hip-hop? Because it facilitates the goals of God. God wants a message going abroad. God wants artistic expression to be surrendered to Him. God wants, you know, you to be creative. God wants you. All of these things you hip-hop is designed to do. Not just you can do it. You know what I'm saying? A VCR, you know what I'm saying, can tell you the time. Well, back in the days when they were popular, you know, they had a little clock on it.
Right.
That's not what it was designed to do. It was designed to play tapes. You know what I'm saying? When we saying hip-hop, it's not just you can. It was designed for
right.
this.
Right.
And so
right.
utilize something that by its very makeup facilitates stuff that God is sending His people out to do anyway.
Yeah.
This is just
yeah.
one of the bangingest ways to do it.
And you know what, man? One of the things that gets me is that, like, exactly what you were just saying, that hip-hop, the whole purpose of hip-hop is message-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's designed to get out a message. And that's why I bug out, because it's like, if we love, anytime we love something, we're going to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? It's automatically going to come out. Like, don't tell me you love your wife, but then you don't ever talk about it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like for those who do love Jesus, if you choose not to talk about him in a medium that's designed to talk about what's on your heart, that means you have to go out of your way
to not
do
Ooh.
It.
Excellent, yo.
You know what I'm saying? If out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you've been given a container, something to, you know what I'm saying, to a platform to speak, but you don't speak what's on your heart, then that means you're automatically going out of your way. Either it's not on your heart, or if it is, you're going out of your way to hide it.
Absolutely.
And that always bugs me out.
You know, in Acts, I believe 16, when we you know when Paul was 16 and 17, going to 17, when Paul was at the, you know, Mars Hill, the Areopagus, it says that there was a group of people who assembled just to hear the latest thing.
Right, right.
Like Mars Hill was set up for that.
Mm.
Don't go to a place where people want to hear the latest thing and give them something less than the latest thing.
Mm.
If you've got the latest thing,
right.
you go to, so I'm going to talk about what y'all been talking about. But that's not what this is for.
Right.
How you going out? And Paul said, this is perfect.
Right.
And it says that they heard him talking about Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And it was like, man, it sounded like he talking about a strange deity.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And then they said, yo, would you come and elaborate?
Right.
That's what we're saying. We're saying, can you imagine the hip-hop community hearing you talking about Jesus and then seeking you out by God's grace and say, can you elaborate on what we heard? Now, if you don't talk about Jesus, they're never going to come and say, will you elaborate on Jesus?
Right.
If anything,
right.
they'll say, give us more of what you hooked us with.
Right.
You just hooked us with, you like to ride the trains and spray paint.
Right.
Well, can you give us more of that?
Right.
But it's a cat roll up on something that we're doing, and they like, I heard you talking stuff that sounds like it comes, you know, something about God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I heard God is your focus. Elaborate.
Right.
Man, tell me God didn't design his people to have the answer for a world that he has to create the hunger for them to even ask.
Right.
But imagine your music is what he uses to advertise them for more talk about a God who's invisible.
Here you go, telling me I gotta mention Jesus 40 times in my lyrics. Here you go. Why I gotta say Jesus 100 times? Why I gotta say Jesus all the time?
Well, you know, like you said, you know, you don't have to say Jesus all the time, but the idea is, do you love him? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying, man. Certain people can't help themselves. You know what I'm saying? Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach.
Mm.
I'm under compulsion. Jeremiah said the same thing.
Mm.
He says, every time I speak on your behalf, I get in trouble. So I'm going to stop. But I can't stop.
Mm.
Because it's like fire in my bones.
Mm.
And so, where are the people who I can't not do it?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We keep arguing, I ain't got to do it.
Mm.
Next. Who's the people that have to do it?
Mm.
We can argue about, but nobody else listens to you. Like, you never have an audience except for when you grab that mic. Mm. And you've got the responsibility. Don't tell me I don't have the gift of evangelism. Mm. Every believer is supposed to evangelize.
Right.
The last words of Jesus, the last instruction was, go be my witnesses, connected to the Great Commission in Matthew, you know what I'm saying, 28, where he says, go into all the world, you know, make disciples, teaching them, you know what I'm saying, the stuff I taught you, basically. That's the whole church. It's all of us. And you at least got to facilitate his teaching. Mm. Even if you say, I'm not the teaching type,
right,
you could facilitate his teaching. If your rap doesn't facilitate anyone coming to know Jesus Christ, and don't tell me I rap and I do regular rap, and then when two people come to me, I witness to them, when you just let 1,998 others go.
Uh-oh.
The idea is that you use your platforms of attention to facilitate, direct them. You have to come up with how you're going to direct people to a position where Jesus can teach them through the people in the body that do have a, you know, a more of a bent toward explaining and teaching. But the MC should know better.
Yeah.
You've already been given a verbal gift. You know what I'm saying? What does it say in Romans? I don't know the address, but it says, let him who speaks. If you say that one of your gifts is speaking, a speaking gift, because most people say, yeah, you know, God gives us all different gifts. You know what I'm saying? Well, is yours a speaking-oriented gift? Yeah. Let him who speaks speak as though it were the very words of God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not saying say Jesus all the time, but it should. You should be speaking the mindset of God in a way that would make people want to know about your God. What can you do, bro?
Man, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Word up, man. You're tuned in to The Common Denominator on Holy Culture Radio. Man, we just been getting it in.
Wait.
Woo! I'm silent with my man DJ Essence. How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm just being blessed, yo.
Yeah. With the ambassador. We got a few more minutes left, man. I just want to, just real quick, can you talk a little bit about the Cross Movement Records and Cross Movement Ministry? Because with me having been involved with Cross Movement Ministry the last 8 months, I still get confused with the just for clarification's sake. Clarify what the difference is between Cross Movement Records and Cross Movement Ministry.
Yeah, Cross Movement Records is a for-profit venture headed by John Kevin Wells, aka The Tonic, from Cross Movement. He has a staff of which Earthquake, formerly of Cross Movement, the group, is also his VP, and a host of others. Cross Movement Records is pretty much an effort that is geared to take a select group of individuals and put their music out through those industry channels. Basically, it's saying we will engage the industry, the music industry, by putting out music that's in the vein of Cross Movement. You know what I'm saying? Cross-centered music, Jesus Christ-oriented. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be as doctrinal as, you know, everything else.
Right.
It just means that at the end of the day, God will be pleased with it. If it's going to come out on our joint.
And who's on Cross Movement Records?
Right now, Cross Movement Records is Cross Movement, the group, as you know, one artist. Then each individual. So you have Ambassador, you have Fanatic, you have Tonic, you have True Life.
Okay.
Then you have solos who've never been in the Cross Movement group, but you know that we put out. You have The Truth.
Truth. Uh-huh.
You have Flame.
Right.
And you have JR.
Okay.
Right.
And JR
is a singer, right? Sings on many of our hooks.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's who's on Cross Movement Records right now. Now, Cross Movement Ministries actually predates Cross Movement Records. It was basically supposed to be and is, but it's at a very ground level. It's a non-profit organization that seeks to utilize both the signed and the unsigned. Utilize the ultra talented and the I'm not that talented, but my heart is ministry bent. It's geared to utilize them, rappers. Rappers, you know, singers, researchers, writers. And what it's geared to harness them,
mm-hmm.
make sure that they're trained, and then utilize them in areas of missions to the hip hop culture. So it almost is seeking people who will engage in hip hop evangelization, the missions to the hip hop culture. So right now, you know, it basically is, you know, it's just seeking to establish. Now, because of our, you know, many of us are in both. You know, we haven't really been able to devote the same kind of time to the nonprofit as we have because of our role in Cross Movement, you know, Records. Well, under Cross Movement Records, Cross Movement, the group, is, you know, always somewhere. So Cross Movement Ministries is this very untapped resource. Plus, it's hard to get people to give to ministry that's not as glamorous. Right now, they're so in awe with what people are doing on the musical side that they really... You know, we have a small support, you know, base for the nonprofit side. But part of it is because the nonprofit side hasn't produced enough tangible things that are distinct from the music. So that's what we're doing now. We're seeking to host rallies and partnering to host conferences that basically begin to talk about the stuff we were talking about today, and that is educating people on the way God thinks and how you bring that thought process together with either hip-hop ministry or hip-hop mission.
So is it fair to say that Cross Movement Ministry, which you're the president of, right?
Correct.
Is it fair to say that is a urban missionary organization?
I mean, basically, that's what we're harping on. We're harping on... basically, those who would make the indigenous missionaries and all those who just would come alongside of.
Define indigenous missionaries.
You know, when we say indigenous, we mean that you're a native to the very culture. That culture is native to you. You know, if you go to China, you know what I'm saying, as a black man, you're cross-cultural ministry. But if you're Chinese in China, you're indigenous to the culture. I mean, that's your culture naturally. And now you're just bringing them the Christian message, you know, culture to culture, rather than cross-culturally. And so what we're saying is hip-hop to hip-hop, you're indigenous to the hip-hop culture. But if you're just a regular cat that says, I was born before the hip-hop generation, or hip-hop never got into my bloodstream, I was more influenced by rock, I was more influenced by... You know what I'm saying? I was more influenced by the lifestyle of just suburban America,
right,
or African American, you know, more of the civil rights bent. Well, then, if you're not going indigenously to hip hop, you'd be going cross culturally to hip hop.
How do you feel like the church should respond to holy hip hop? I guess it's a two part question. How should the church respond to holy hip hop? And how should holy hip hoppers approach the church?
Oh, good. First of all, the church should respond biblically to holy hip hop by filtering it and sizing it up with scripture. I think that the church should not just let everything that has the tag holy hip hop in. They should look at it and examine it. And if they can thumbs up it, from a biblical standpoint, they should put it out.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but just right there, what you just said just reminded me of one of the criticisms is that even using the name hip hop is the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, don't even call yourself hip hoppers. Call yourself something else. Christian rappers.
Right. Right.
So
right. Well, that's the problem. Because, you know, hip-hop, from a social perspective, again, isn't inherently evil, which that's the problem. Anyone who can demonize it can get the church to forsake it. But if you know that it's just a social reality that best identifies certain distinguishable traits about yourself socially, you know, like I said, there's a difference between my father, who's an African American, and me as an African American. And really, the difference is I'm a part of the hip hop culture by virtue of my being you know, raised during an era where hip hop basically was the key informant of African Americans, you know, from, you know, in my age bracket. Mm-hmm. In other words, my style of music, my style of fashion, my slang, I got through hip hop mediums, through their modes of expression. That's how I, that shaped a lot of my differences from just generic African American.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's just indigenous to who you are, somebody can't just tell you to throw it away. That would be like somebody who, you know, comes and says, you know, you're American. Don't call yourself African American. We know that Africans are, you know, a lot of voodoo and witchcraft in Africa. You know, drop the African part and just, you know, be American. Well, the only reason why probably African Americans hold on to it, you know what I'm saying, is because they want to, you know, for so long that was a strike against them. And since they're proud of their heritage and they're proud of their contributions to the American, you know, system, they keep that just to let people know that they understand that Africans went through a certain, you know, a certain experience in order to, you know, become American. So they keep it, you know, as a monument of, let me show you my connection is twofold, you know. And I think that hip hop, you know, or Christian hip hop is, you know, you're taking, you're looking at your connections and you're keeping both of them visible for people who want to do away or to minimize one. So they try to minimize Africanness in America. Africans are more forced to uphold it. Well, same thing with hip hop. Because people try to minimize it, you know, we uphold it. When we say, I just want to help you to understand in an age where we're at a cultural shift, I want you to understand that the hip hop and the Christian go hand in hand, but the Christian is what dominates the hip hop or controls the hip hop. So don't use hip hop, then what do we, you know, it's almost like, but I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, I'm proud of the achievements that hip hop has made, even as I'm displeased with the heavy, you know, the immorality and the lack of ethics inside of it.
Right, so, right. And that's one of the things to me that's clear. It's like, if you got two cats on stage rapping, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are not even going to make that distinction, you know what I'm saying? Like, if people are looking up, they're not going to say, two cats who are spitting and they're spitting the gospel, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're both doing the same thing, like, the audience doesn't make that connection, like, oh, he's a gospel hip-hopper, and this guy is doing gospel rap. Like, what's...
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even understand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What's
really interesting to me, though, is that the same guy that is saying, don't call it hip-hop, but call it rap, if you look at what's being dominant today, it's not hip-hop, it's rap.
Right.
And rap is being destructive. They try to take, you know, graffiti and breakdancing in the 80s and exploit that, but the very thing which they could exploit was the MC. You know, meaning the corporations.
Yeah.
So the corporations latched on to whatever would work.
Right.
And use that for influence. So rap itself has been more destructive in the society than hip hop.
That's good. That's good.
Excellent.
So to call it rap is just.
They'll say don't call it rap. They're saying Christian rap is okay, but like the lifestyle of the hip hopper isn't. So they'll try to distinguish between rap as just this verbal thing and hip hop as more of a lifestyle. But again, they wrongfully equate a life of sin with a life of hip hop.
Well, cats would even say it's a religion. That hip hop is a religion.
And I think that there are those original, there's many of like original influences in hip hop that have sought to make it that.
Right.
You know, just trying to, you know, milk it for all it's worth. You know, and after the fact, after they helped spawn something that went beyond what they ever intended, you know what I'm saying? They tried to, on the back end, tried to steer it into a religious conviction.
Right.
But the problem is, the masses that helped the culture go from just a small interest to a global, you know what I'm saying, culture, they're not interested in everything that the original influences wanted, you know what I'm saying?
Cat, like, the average cat is not, like, even if they're involved in the idolatry, and nobody's questioning that hip-hop is secular hip hop is, and even within Christian circles, hip hop is idolized. You know what I'm saying? Right. But the regular cat does not look at hip hop as a religion, yo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I remember back in the day, you know what I'm saying, cats like Brand Nubian and Rakim and them, you know what I'm saying? These cats was explicitly, you know what I'm saying, putting in whether it was their Islamic convictions or their 5%er convictions, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Using hip hop as that vehicle, you know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? But nobody, man. Like, I mean,
only a few.
Oh, right, right.
You know, Temple of Hip Hop.
Right.
They lobby for that. Mm-hmm. But again, you can't find enough people who want hip hop as a religion.
Right.
Like hip hop is a facilitator of religious convictions.
Right. Right.
But it's not in and of itself. It's not a religion.
Right.
And because you know you have religion is centered around it. That's what I'm saying. Like hip hop can only be a facilitator of religious ideals, ideas.
And that's why I always like to. I look at it as a cup. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Hip hop is a container, and the question is just what you pour into it.
Absolutely.
You know.
That's good.
So how should hip hopers approach the church on the other side?
I think hip hopers ought to realize that the church is God's solution. They should approach the church like David approached Saul. Saul was in the way of David taking the throne, but David would not kill Saul to take the throne. David respected, and this is what he said, I will not touch God's anointed. And what was anointed was the office of king and the individual that was in that office. So what's happening is the church is God's bride, the church is God's representative on earth. Don't touch her. What you do is you remain faithful to God. You try to reason with the church. You try to live exemplary Christian lives in front of the church. You, like Paul did when he went to the council and let you know, Acts 15, and they examined his gospel. You know what I'm saying? They examined his gospel, and you let them examine your work. You plead with them to not allow their traditions to interpret the work, but allow the scriptures to interpret the work to at least determine if it's scripturally sound. Mm-hmm. You work with them on you ration out how much hip hop you flood on them, because that'll make them that'll repel them, and you assure them that you don't want hip hop supremacy in the church. You just want hip hop to be incorporated as the redeemed version of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, to be incorporated, because even hip-hoppers have a right to sit at the table, you know what I'm saying, with other misfits, because we're all misfits at the table, you know what I'm saying, so.
That's good. How we doing on time?
It's whatever.
It's whatever. The common denominator, yo.
Yo.
Whatever. I just got a couple more questions, man. I see you getting
good.
You sure? Yeah. So you're not weary and well doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I get a kick
off this. People have questions about CM and what some of your theological convictions are. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. People have questions in terms of what y'all believe. Now, before I ask you what y'all believe, and it should be apparent what y'all believe because your albums are so clear. You have a doctrinal statement on your website, but sometimes people want even more, more specified answers, you know what I'm saying? Like beyond the essentials. Can you talk a little bit about CM's approach in terms of essentials versus non-essentials, and why you, and you, I've spoken to you about this before, but why you've taken the approach that you've taken in terms of what you choose to emphasize and what you don't?
Well, one, if it's essential, we You know, we hold unswervingly to it. If it's non-essential, and we pretty much take our cues from probably from, you know, church history, from the broader Christian community, as to what things, you know what I'm saying, we harp on, what things we don't, what things we, you know, we'll divide over, what things we won't. And I think that for us, we've gotten to the place where, you know, when you start talking about the nature of God, you know what I'm saying, the content, you know what I'm saying, of the gospel, the, you know what I'm saying, the issue of, you know, just properly understanding the relationship of the, you know, the Bible, you know, to the faith. Those are the things that we harp on. The things that are clear, the things that are most clear in Scripture, the things that, you know, we find ourselves saying, come on, you can't afford to be wrong on this. Like I said, if you can look in church history and you can see great men and women on two sides of the fence on an issue, and historically they've still been esteemed as solid believers, then we're able to differ on those things. But on those places that we're supposed to be unified, you know, and you've seen councils who've come down on certain sides of the fence, you know what I'm saying, or you've seen certain, you know, creeds that have, you know, made, then we pretty much stick with those, just trying to be a part of the faith, instead of just having our own personal faith. You know, like, you know, just in terms of the Trinity, you know, believing, like I said, that's the nature of God, believing in the triunity of God, yet believing in a monotheistic worldview, meaning there's one God, you know, Jesus Christ coming, you know, being eternally existing. You'll say, oh, like, you know, Hank Hanegraaff says, what is it that's going to distinguish you from the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults?
Right.
What are those things when you say, oh, you believe that? That's cult. That's, you know, that you're down with a certain cult rather than the kingdom of Christ. So, I mean, I, you know, as people fire them away, you know what I'm saying? You know, I, like you said, we have a doctrinal statement. Then we start getting to, that's essential, that's non-essential. Like I said, I think when you start looking at the argumentation in Scripture, you know, I mean, in church history, you start knowing which things that we have to wrestle over and which things I see the, you know, the danger of believing in that, but it's not like I can say you're not my, my brother, because the Scriptures really looks at everything based on, you know, your right standing with God or not. You know what I'm saying? And your association with the community of faith.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's believing the right material in order to be properly related to the right God. So when it's, you know, outside of the gospel, or the nature of the Godhead, or the nature of the persons of the Godhead, maybe, like I said, in the context of the gospel, I think we can sort of differ from some of the other stuff.
And there are some differences on some of those non-essential issues, even within the CM camp, right? And that's banging, because y'all still have been able to, you know, to minister together in unity for the last 10 years, even though, you know what I'm saying, it's just certain things that y'all, you know.
And I mean, that's what we try to tell people. It's not, like, we gotta believe what y'all believe. You know? We have to believe what we believe. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's, you know, unless
that's
it's
for faith.
Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, in the church, period, you know. Actually, you know, when I went to school, you know, I you know, at Dallas DTS, they really are stressing. We have got to stop saying that we only divide over essentials, and yet we look divided over more than essentials. I think it's just, it becomes a point where you got to respect people's right to, you know, to exegetically arrive at different conclusions. Because what really helped me was when I started looking at translating, you know what I'm saying, Greek, you know, and Hebrew translation, sometimes it comes down to exegetical decisions, stuff more probable, and that's really what it is, it's things that are more probable exegetically than others. Some things are just doesn't mean that. Other times, you know, man, this is a, is this a, you know, subjective, you know what I'm saying, or an objective genitive? Is this God's love for us, or, you know, our love for God? Like, I'm just saying, like, certain things come down to, man, am I going to you know, this is a judgment call, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying in things of doctrine, you know what I'm saying? You start looking at yourself and saying, man, it's a reasoning. Sometimes reasoning comes in. You know, you got those who differ on the issue. You know, you take tongues, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Is tongues a language or isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know how much reasoning it takes for you to, you know, wind up with, well, we know clearly in Scripture that tongues was a known language.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you go to the Corinthians passage, when it starts saying, you know, if I speak in tongues, I speak, you know, mysteries to God. Now, is it teaching that tongues is a language to God? Mm-hmm. Or is it saying something different? Saying, well, I might as well be speaking mysteries to God because my mind is unfruitful. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to say, well, I'd rather my mind be fruitful. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everything else about language is distinguishable. Everything else you need to be able to understand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So then you say, man, well, the scripture's prescribing that we do a language that we don't know. Mm-hmm. Or the scripture's just saying the tongues uninterpreted is as unfruitful as a language we don't know.
Right.
You see, now those are now you're reasoning. The scriptures isn't emphatic. You have to understand Paul's argument there. So when people land on different sides of the fence, you can understand how somebody could not agree with you. Mm. You say, Dad, but he's still my brother. Mm. This dude is heralding Jesus as Lord. The salvation is by grace through faith alone. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Mm. Now, y'all have been labeled as fundamentalists who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit or the power of the Spirit to cast out demons today. Speak on it, my brother.
That's preposterous. The words of Corey Redd. Somebody falsely represented our view. First of all, the source is bogus. Mm. The source is bogus. They don't know what they're talking about. Mm. And they didn't get it from a quote. You know, a lot of people like to paint, you know, what you think or what you feel in extreme terms in order to make people, turn people against you. Mm. You know, by the definition of miracles can't just be rampant. Because it's not a miracle.
By definition,
a miracle can't just be something that just happens so frequently.
It's an unusual, you know, occurrence.
Exactly.
Right.
So what we tell people is that there are certain things that you see in the book of Acts and you see existing in the ministry of the apostles that by virtue of their distinction and their uniqueness are not normative. Mm. You got people who set up whole ministries as though you can bank on it being normative. Mm. And so we say those things are not normative. Mm. And then you look at the need for miracles in certain segments of time throughout history.
Right.
That the needs for why people are doing miracles often don't line up with the need biblically. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so, no, CM believes in the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. Mm. CM believes in the indwelling of the Spirit. CM believes in the baptism of the Spirit, though we believe that happens simultaneously, you know, with faith in Jesus Christ. He comes and places you in Christ, Christ in you, and everybody in the Father. Mm. We believe that God has the power to heal. God has the power to cast out demons. God will if he chooses to. Now, that's something that's normative, you know what I'm saying? Then we say no. Mm-hmm. And we say that anybody who says that it's normal and gets mad at us for saying that it's not, then we understand. Then you're accurately representing us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the idea is that we do believe in it, you know what I'm saying? And is God doing it through an individual, you know what I'm saying, today? And like I said, God can sovereignly do what he wants.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's just something that's not just running rampant today. Mm. Especially in America. You know, so I can't speak in countries where they don't have all the stuff that we have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I do know, you know, that whenever God supplies one thing, that sometimes there's no need for the other. Mm. Classic point, you know, when God and Elijah, with the story of Elijah and the widow with Zarephath, you know, God says, yo, if you do this for me, the oil and the, you know, if you make me a cake first, what you need to make cake during this time of famine will continue to be there until the day God sends rain. So it's almost like, because of the lack of rain, for you, I'm going to do a miracle. The moment I bring rain, that will dry up. Because there was no longer a need for me to do a miracle, because my normal way of doing it will. You know what I'm saying? So in places that don't have the kind of medical this and the medical that and the science and the resource that we have, I anticipate that God does miracles. He intervenes in his natural way a lot more where people have a lot less.
Right.
In places where there's a lot more, I believe that God doesn't need to do a miracle.
That's good.
You don't have to walk on water. You know what I'm saying? When you got boats. You know what I'm saying? Unless God's doing a unique lesson. But ordinarily, men are not walking on water.
Right.
And so I'm just saying that, again, everything is based on God's purpose. I'm not here to determine when it's God's purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However, I am saying that it's not as simple as just, I know an anointed dude that's always doing miracles. You know what I'm saying? Even the Lord Jesus didn't always do a miracle, which is why he didn't come down off the cross. You know what I'm saying? Even Paul, on one hand, his shadow was healing people. On another hand, he's saying, take a little wine for your stomach ailments. You know what I'm saying? So he could have just sent the handkerchief to St. Timothy, but it didn't. He said, take regular medicinal, you know, routes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He raised people from the dead, but he didn't get up from the dead. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, come on, girl.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, yo. Look.
Hey, brother.
It's good, man. Because it reminds me, man, of just like, anytime you see the focus being on signs and wonders, you know, I think about when the Lord said a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And not that God can't do it, but if you see the focus being on that, especially if Jesus in the gospel, him crucified, is nowhere to be found.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify about me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So don't tell me that the Holy Spirit is moving when Jesus Christ and him crucified is not,
right,
is nowhere to be found.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Excellent. How people try to, they try to get us, man. They try to get us because we, you know. I mean, I understand. I mean, there's whole churches that are like, that's the highlight. That's their distinctive. Their distinctive is the activity of the supernatural. You know what I mean? And when that's such a central focus for you, anyone that seems to act like, you know, God rations it out, looks like they're hating on you.
Right.
And we're saying, please don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? We're not. But even, even in the Bible, in biblical history, the age of miracles is not plastered throughout. It's in times.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And God chose to compile the scriptures so that you see the age of miracles. I mean, we're not told that Adam did a miracle. We're not told that David did a miracle. We're not told that, I mean, there's so many people that they weren't the mediators of any miracles, yet they were godly individuals. You know what I'm saying? We're not told that Daniel did a miracle, but we were told that he interpreted dreams. But we're told that Moses and Joshua, we're told that Elijah and Elisha, we see Jesus and the apostles and their early, you know what I'm saying, disciples. You know what I'm saying? So,
what about the argument where Christ tells people, you know, specifically the disciples, you know, and John, that you're going to go out and forgive people's sins and do works greater than these.
Right. See, I don't even want to get into, because people also go to the Mark passage, Mark 16, after the 8th verse, you know what I'm saying? You get some manuscript issues there. And they say, yo, this is going to follow. You know what I'm saying? And I try to tell people that, I don't want to break your heart, but there was certain scribal commentary, you know, added to certain documents where the, you know, it's like scribes who were trying to clear up the unclear, you know what I'm saying? And
You know what I'm saying? The best manuscript evidence. I hate to say it, but
I know.
The best manuscript evidence doesn't have the stuff that comes after verse 8, I believe. And what it was probably scribes trying to help cap mark off and make it a little clearer. Probably, you know, doing it based on what they were observing during that early time. That this was happening at the time.
Right.
And so they sort of like, you know, sort of like make it look like Jesus was promising that this is what's going to happen.
Right.
Because that's what did happen. You know what I'm saying? And but once again.
And that's why that section of Mark is bracketed off in most Bibles.
Absolutely, they have to have a footnote. Most manuscripts don't have this, or the more reliable manuscripts don't have this.
Right.
But, you know, so they just let you know this. You can take that gingerly in your own study.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To see, but a lot of little things where stuff is italicized. It's not in the original, but they're trying to help the thought flow better. A lot of times they have little numbers and letters down there to let you know the manuscript evidence varies here. Now, if you know what I'm saying, you start doing your research and a lot of times, basically, your doctrine, you'll want it to be so, or you won't want it to be so.
And that's always a challenge anytime you're doing Bible translation, you know, from one language.
It's integrity to let you know, okay, according to the manuscript evidence, we're different here. I like the fact that Bibles let you know, but if it ain't the Bible now, you said it's all. No. We're saying that we have a copy of a reliable, infallible source.
Right, and that's important that we stress infallibility, inerrancy in the original manuscript.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But in our copies, there's scribal errors. Sometimes it's simple to know, he just left off a zero.
And nothing that changes any
teaching.
Right.
By the time you change it, in that case, we can lose our salvation. It's nothing like that.
Eternal security. See.
That's another one.
Right.
That's not an essential.
Right.
Whether or not we're gonna find out one day. You know what I'm saying? Do you think of what God did? You can undo. But it's a whole nother.
So look, man. As we bring this to a close, man. What's next? What can we expect from the ambassador, camp?
Well, first, for the ambassador, you can expect a book to come out. I don't know what the title is going to be, but it will address many of these issues, helping the church to better understand hip-hop, help hip-hop better understand the church and Christ and the whole nine. You can expect me to thoroughly represent this project abroad. If people have me out. I'm doing concerts and seeking opportunities to hold press conferences, workshops, seminars, preaching churches to be a voice, a liaison between Christ and the culture. You can expect the whole camp to be on the Why Hip Hop campaign where we continue to, ask the church, don't sleep on ministering to the hip hop culture and utilizing the redeemed hip hop community to be the indigenous missionaries to that hip hop culture. You can expect, my ambassador through Crossroad Ministries to continue to rally cats, much like yourself as you've been, in the Lantmo period, just really being good friends and allies with us to basically do the work of ministry as well as train others to do the work of ministry when we talk about hip-hop missions, missions to the hip-hop culture. So just trying to rally more people who are not directly related to the Cross movement as a group, utilize more cats that are good, solid, ministry material.
Yeah.
And you can expect to see ambassadors part of the church plant in Philadelphia, Epiphany Fellowship Church. We're going to be planting in North Philly, really just trying to be another one of those small but emerging worship communities that looks to not be a hip-hop church, but to be a church of Jesus Christ that ministers to a world that's heavily influenced by hip-hop. So, keep on the lookout for that.
Word, man. I wish we had more time, because it's like, man, it's 2 hours. You got to come back, man.
Hey, man, have me. I'm glad. Praise God for this talk show coming. Yeah. I'm leading for you, DJ Essence.
Yeah.
To you, Shaolin. Big ups to Holy Culture Radio.
Yeah.
We've been doing it, I think. It'll quickly catch on. That's what we need, man. We rocking music. But at the end of the day, we need to hear people unpack truth.
All right.
And music packages truth. We need somebody eventually to unravel it and unpack it and show people the depths of these truths.
Yeah.
And we need that in this society.
Yeah.
We're getting flaky. You know what I'm saying? And we get they're dumbing us down. Don't let them do it, y'all.
And that's what this is about, man. It's about what happens after the lights go off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? After you drop the mic. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And,
true.
And that's why I just feel privileged to be in Philadelphia and to also just be amongst cats where, I mean, we do this on the regular. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Man, we want to, real quick, we want to go to a break because Essence is going to spin something and then we're going to come right back with the close of the show.
Yeah.
This one going to hit him right here.
So many people are inside, don't even know them even though they might have heard of God.
Get into this.
Can he love me?
Uh-huh.
Will he hear my prayer?
Oh, I think I'm ugly when he sees my soul.
Heard of a savior, heard he dead and died, and we can give him our sins and we can get his life. And I wonder for me if he would even care.
Let me get up in this verse right now. I'm thinking back to when we first got down. I only crow for when you searched, I found. Snatched quick, so you knew how I acted. That's what's sick. I was a pig that you drafted. A backflip with a slick. Couldn't be more backwards. In fact, that's classic. I love to see your tactics. But I think back to when I shrink back. From the real beat, it's real deep. I really thought you could never feel me. Cause my shirts were devil necks. When really I was a small devil, shirts was a effect. When really it wasn't called for. Head bagged, they sagged and dragged on the floor. But I was never that poor to show the back of his jaws. But I did hang, kick slang, me and my boys did. Rock durag till it put a crease in our forehead. And on the surface of the set we were worthless. But I'm glad you purchased the lover, said you made it your purchase. Ah.
So many people are hurt inside. Don't even know them even though they might have heard of God. Can he love me? Will he hear my prayer?
Don't think I'm ugly when he sees my soul, he sees my hair.
I heard of a savior, heard he dead and died. He can give him my sins and he can get his life. And I wonder for me if he will even care.
When he sees my clothes, oh, when he sees my hair. I was convinced of your power, so I was down to comply with your standard. Your God the Father, Creator, I was your prize. But I noticed my focus, it wasn't on you, my hope was you would meet me in heaven. But as for earth, I roll with the hood. I really didn't want your heaven, just didn't want hell more.
I
really didn't want your presence, just didn't want hell more. I didn't know you were beautiful. You made advances, but in fact, I pushed you back like a cuticle.
I
was a bad date, but now I know what it was. You got something with some people like a crab cake. They elevate their own.
They celebrate.
They make their own what's right. They say it's what you like. Everything else, they make it wrong. I'm glad you don't hate our musical fashion unless you think of how you intend us to use them a clashing. Cause for us, this is just a part of the culture. But it's the reason why some think they shouldn't try to approach you. Oh.
Man sees the outside, but God sees the inside. No matter your outside,
no matter.
So faith he'll come.
Never heard of the name. Yeah, they heard the word Jesus, but never heard of his fame. They feel cut off from him, not just because of his sin, but because of their clothes, hair, or their color of skin. And they've been afloat, drowning in sin. We're in a boat, yet they've never been approached. Because we see him as different folks. God's all for universal.
Yeah.
He wants you in a circle.
Yeah.
He wants you in the durag, and he wants you in the purple hair.
Yeah.
Now you can just take a cursory glance at the word and see God made the plans of diversity. Is there one godly ethnic group in the church? Should we all wear one polyester suit? Or
maybe rock sandals and robes, no ham, I suppose. When we meet, maybe we should only eat salmon and loaves. Should we only like the organ or the violin? I'm inquiring, I am Ironman, up in the choir, man, women. But for a minute, why do some people assume that God's high five, got no tunes, they got the boom back. He's with white, with black, with black. With Asia, with rock, country jazz, with rap, soul.
So many people are hurt inside. Don't even know him, even though they might have heard of God. Can he love me? Will he hear my prayer?
Won't think I'm ugly when he sees my clothes and sees my hair.
I heard of a Savior, heard he dead and died. We can give him our sins and we can get his life. And I wonder for me if he will even care.
When he sees my clothes or when he sees my hair.
Gotta look on the inside.
So welcome back to The Common Denominator on Holy Culture Radio. I'm Shy Lin, got DJ Essence. You just heard My Clothes, My Hair from The Ambassador.
New CD?
Yeah, yeah. The Thesis.
Yeah.
Go pick it up, y'all, if you don't have it already, man.
Yeah.
It's just banging. The integration of faith and culture, you know what I'm saying? Man, it's been a blessing. We want to let y'all know just what y'all can expect from The Common Denominator. Essence, right. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, what this show was, it was kind of laying the foundation for a lot of the framework that we want to go off of. So we thought that this was definitely necessary to kind of have an understanding of where we're going to be coming from. And like Shai was saying, to be in Philadelphia is just banging because we're going to have different people on. All from, you know, the Philadelphia community, the surrounding areas, New York, Maryland, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, it's just kind of a glimpse of what we get here. It's banging because we just sit around, we talk about stuff like this a lot. So
yeah.
We want to just kind of exploit some of the top topics that we talk about and some of the regular things you can expect on the show. We will kind of split it up in half. We're going to be talking about things going on in the world that you might see on CNN or Fox and you not hear the Christians talking about, so you're not really able to connect, well, where's my place in this? Where's the place of the believer?
And
specifically.
That's the windows section.
Right. You specifically being in the hip-hop generation, you know, what is my place in this? Because all you hear is, you hear from the older generation that doesn't understand you and they're not coming from a Christian worldview most of the time, so... Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's political stuff, social issues, whatever is kind of the current temperature of the society we want to talk about and address.
Right.
And then flip it to things going on inside of the church.
Just
so
mirrors.
Mirrors. We're looking back and kind of seeing what's going on. So we'll be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Shai wants to take lyrics from a song and kind of remove them from the music and the rhythm and just look at them in black and white. Like, let's read these lyrics off a page.
And then break it down from a biblical standpoint.
Mm. Yeah, so look at that.
Yeah.
We'll also touch on an essential issue or an essential doctrine of the faith at the end of the show to kind of just to continue to build up and to look at things.
Yeah. Also, we definitely want to get y'all emails. You know what I'm saying? What we'll do is... in advance, we'll let you know what the topic is of the show, and so you can send in your emails to holycultureradio.com. You can post it. We have a common denominator section on the website. Post whatever your questions are, and Lord willing, we'll be able to answer your questions as well.
Right, artists you want to see, even topics you might want to know about.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, we want this to be interactive. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. We pray that y'all have been encouraged by this show. I know we didn't touch on everything, but I feel like we spent 2 hours. So we'd definitely love to have Ambassador come back again. Until next time, man. We out.
Yeah.
Grace and peace, y'all.
Yeah.